morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this third edition of Hound Pound Sports Talk. We are normally on every other week, but Labor Day screwed up the schedule, so we are glad to be on this Thursday. Starting left tackle Jack Lorson will join us later on in the show, so stay tuned for that. However, head coach John Heber is normally our first guest, but he had to sit this one out today. You can imagine how busy the man is. Instead, we will have fellow radio staff member Griffin Gonzalez with us. Griffin, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, boys.
First, let's start off with a roundtable discussion about how the season has gone so far, in our opinion. Sam, what do you think?
Well, I think there's been a lot of positives to look back on. I think the team has played a great second half for all three games, but a lot of negatives. We're 1-2. We dig ourselves in a holes early. We were down 27-7 against LaSalle, which was a tough hole to dig back from. We did dig back from it, but you know, and we were down 17-0 against Center Grove. So I think we really got to come out firing, and we got to come out a little better. These first quarters, we've just been, we've been getting knocked back by these other teams, and they're good teams. LaSalle was a great team, and Center Grove is a conference powerhouse every single year. But starting our offense, starting out stronger, was going to be a huge key for the rest of the year. But I've loved the play from Michael Victrup, 4 rushing touchdowns. He's been outstanding. I think he's in the Mr. Football discussions already early in the year. I love the way he runs. His arm has been pretty good these past 3 games. But I'm really impressed with Michael Victrup so far. And I think this is the game against Pike this Friday. I think this is the game that turns our season around.
I could agree with you on that one, saying that this weekend will be the one that turns everything around. It really shows the season starting like every game they've played this year so far. They start off really slow. We're at a 1-2 record right now. We've started off every game. The last 2 games, the first game, we started off pretty good against HSC. But against LaSalle and against Center Grove, we got down early. We got down really quickly, too, in the first and second quarter. And going into halftime, we were down. So I think the first halves are really a killer in this game because it's easier to play ahead than to come back from behind. That's obvious in any sport, especially football right here, when possession is a main key in the Greyhounds' possession. They've led in time of possession the both last games, but they really haven't showed a lot for it. I think Michael Victrup is doing a great job, like you said, Sam. 4 rushing touchdowns in the air. I'm actually surprised it's not more because we've played 3 games and has 4 touchdowns. I think in these next couple of games, though, he'll realize that he needs to put more of the team on his back, needs to take more control of the team and start running more than he has. Like we saw last year when he was playing, him and Isaac James switching out a lot. Michael Victrup is going to have to keep the ball a lot more and really extend the rushing game because with Tobias Watkins and Stephen Watts in the backfield, both of them are great runners, but they tire out pretty easily. And Michael Vitrup's really going to have to step up the running game.
1-2, you look at that, and that just is automatically a negative to look at. But, I mean, we have lost 2 games to 2 very great teams. Obviously, the number one team in Ohio, LaSalle. But then you have Center Grove, who's arguably the best team in Indiana right now, undefeated so far this year. I mean, Center Grove's obviously having a great year so far, great program over there, but I think Carmel, their key for Carmel to go back on their rest of the season, especially tomorrow night versus Pike, they got to start off firing on all cylinders. They can't wait for the defense to come to them on the offense. They need to just go out and they got to be ready to fire off. They got to be ready to go, and they're going to have to put up points early.
I couldn't agree with your first statement more, Griffin. We lost 2 games to 2 very good teams. LaSalle, like you mentioned, number one team in Ohio, and Center Grove, number one team now in Indiana, and I think a team that could easily make a run at a state championship, and it's always tough to defend the triple option. People have to realize that just because we're 1-2, the season's not over. Everybody makes the playoffs, and Carmel has shown they can rebound in each individual game by starting off slow and coming back in the second half. And in past seasons, in 2013, when we started off very slow, and then we ended up going to the state championship game and losing by 1 to Warren Central. So I think this game against Pike really will be a turning point in the season. If we lose, it'll be tough. I think we can rebound. I think we can do it. But if we win, I can see us rattling off a huge winning streak leading into the playoffs. Sam, you wanted to add something.
Pike, it's going to be a really tough game this Friday. Just beat number one Ben Davis. But you were talking about that 2013 season, and actually in the fourth game when we were 1-2, we played at Lucas Oil Stadium. We beat Lawrence Central by the score of 17-7, and that really accelerated our season, gave us momentum, and carried us all the way to the state championship game. I think this game is going to have the same amount of relevance. I think that if we win this game, this could and totally impact our season, give us momentum throughout the rest of the year. And in 2013, former head coach Kevin Wright really preached, I think the theme for the year was build the machine. And it's every game, just build on it. Every game, get better. And I think Coach Hebert has that same kind of mentality this year because I can see it. We are getting better. I mean, we are losing, but we are getting better every single game. So I think that same kind of mentality it plays into this season. And, yeah, this game against Pike is really going to turn our season around, I think.
You know, obviously we know how to lose, obviously being 1-2, but I think that's pretty important. Last year, of course, going undefeated until we reached state and lost to Ben Davis. We got dominated by Ben Davis and state. But I think it's good that we know how to lose. I think it's great that we've experienced what it's like to lose and what it's like to be down in games and what it's like to fight back versus teams like LaSalle and Center Grove and come back and pull those games closer to each other and try to get a better game on that one. But I think Pike's a turning point for us, and I think you definitely got to pull away with the W today and ride on that momentum this season.
I'm really excited for that Pike game.
Yeah.
I talked to Jack Lorson earlier, and he'll talk a little more about it later in the show. But he said Pike's defense is an opportunist defense where they blitz a lot and they try to force turnovers. So we'll see that a lot on Friday night. And their offense is very high-powered. Obviously, they beat Ben Davis last Friday. And like, it's going to be a turning point. They're like an Oregon team with that blitzing defense, opportunist defense, and the high-scoring offense. So I can't wait to see how that one goes.
In this upcoming game, Carmel versus Pike, will be a battle of two rookie head coaches at the respective teams. Right now, you got John Hebert and the Greyhounds, and ex-offensive coordinator, Pike's offensive coordinator last year, Jimmy Graves, who is a very, very good offensive coach and offensive coordinator. Still the OC over there, but also taking head coach duties. And the offense that he's been running the last couple years, especially when we played on ESPN 2 years ago, where the Greyhounds won that one late in the game. The offense for Pike was really good. Like you said, their defense is a very risky defense to run. They blitz a lot and try to force a lot of turnovers. But their offense and the size and speed that Pike's offense has is incredible. I think this will be a great matchup for the Greyhounds.
Now, with that blitzing defense, I want to see how our offensive line responds. Jack, once again, we'll talk more about that later in the show. But with a blitzing defense, they're coming after our offensive line. And I thought they've done a pretty solid job thus far. But, you know, we've seen them give up the occasional sack. And they're going to have to be on their toes because we could potentially, they're going to be blitzing a lot. There could be sacks coming at any time. So we want to keep Michael Victor protected and have plenty of time to throw in that pocket.
And a big thing that keeping Michael Victor protected, Simon Pachars, who was out the last couple of weeks, is almost back to full strength this week. I'm almost positive he will play this week. So he's a huge addition back to that right tackle position for the offensive line.
Now, speaking of the offensive line and that offensive side of the ball, let's talk about the offense for a few minutes and what we've seen from them thus far. What do you guys think have been the biggest strengths and weaknesses so far? Griffin.
You know, I personally think our strength has been actually a run game. You know, obviously we lose Shakir Pascal, the freaking tank, Shakir. You know, nobody could stop him. You know, he got so many yards after even being touched. So I think, you know, but Tobias Watkins has seriously stepped up in that role, and even backup Steven Watts has come in for a few plays and done some excellent things, I think. And I think they both have just done an excellent job so far, and great for them for stepping up. Michael Vitrip obviously doing great jobs this season, as he has done in previous seasons. But, yeah, they're really impressing me so far.
I have also liked the run game, and I've loved the way that we've replaced Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins. But going into the year, I didn't believe we were going to have that same 1-2 punch. And it seems that we have kind of refilled those roles with Tobias Watkins. So far, 252 rush yards and a couple touchdowns. I think he's been doing a great job running up the middle. I've loved his up the middle. I think going on the outsides has been a little bit of a weakness with Tobias. I think that those outside lanes haven't really been clear, but I love the way that Tobias runs up the middle, and Steven Watts has really impressed me a lot. I didn't expect a lot from him going into the year at all, but the way he runs between the guards up the middle has been unbelievable. He really reminds me of Shakir Pascal as well. He doesn't really have the same body type as Shakir, but the way he runs up the middle with the power, I can compare him to Shakir Pascal, and Steven's been pretty impressive as well.
I think it's just a matter of time before the coaching staff for the Greyhounds, the offensive coaching staff, realizes that Steven Watts and Tobias Watkins are two smaller versions of Shakir and Chris from last year. And I think it'd be really smart and a great opportunity in the next couple of weeks when we play Lawrence Central as well as North Central, Lawrence North and North Central, two of what some people think of the easier opponents, but two very good conference opponents as well, to somewhat implement a two running back system. Is you could try testing that out with having both of them in the backfield at one time, and that'd create much more misdirection opportunities, and it confuse opposing defenses much more, because I think both of those running backs have their specialties. Like Sam said, one's better up the middle, one's better outside. So I think having those two in the backfield at the same time would do great things for the offense, especially the offensive line getting more pulls for them with the guards and centers and that stuff as well. But I think the wide receivers are my key to the season this year. Last year, the wide receivers really weren't a huge factor because Coach Wright was more of a running style offense. Now Coach Walker, ex-running backs coach for the Colts, is now the offensive coordinator for Carmel, and he's doing a great job implementing all the receivers, Jalen, Ethan, and Marcus Perkins, as well as tight ends. Kurt Raftel has two touchdowns on the season so far. So, I mean, two touchdowns for Kurt Raftel was two more touchdowns than any tight end had last year. So I think the tight ends and the wide receivers this year are a much bigger role than they have been in the past.
Now, you said Steven Watts and Tobias Watkins were two smaller versions of Chris Perkins and Shakir Pascal. But the fact is, they aren't Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins. No. And due to that, we've had to balance out the offense a lot more, and we're passing, obviously, a lot more this year with Ethan Merriweather and Jalen Walker on the outside and Kurt Raftall, the tight end. And I think David Walker, the offensive coordinator, has done a great job of balancing the offense out. And I've seen us hit big plays quite often, like the two we had last week against Center Grove, the big pass plays. But I'd like to see our offense be a little bit more consistent, driving the ball down the field for long drives, rushing the ball, moving the chains, and keeping that time of possession. I know we've had better time of possession than the teams we've played so far, but I'd like to see that even increase more and consistently put a ton of points up on the board. Now, Center Grove's defense was a little bit better than they were given credit for. Two defensive tackles going D1, one to Vanderbilt and one to Stanford. That's pretty unreal. But moving against Pike, their defense, they can be burned with that blitzing defense, and I'd like to see us burn them and move the chains and put up a lot of points this year.
You know, I agree with that, Jack, but you know, behind any great running game, there's always a great O-line, and there's no doubt in my mind Carmel has the deepest O-line in the conference, probably. I mean, you guys like Chase Crowder, who's a freaking tank. Chase Crowder is a freaking tank.
Yeah.
6'2". I mean, he is a big dude. And you got Jack Lorson on the outside at that tackle position. You have Tank Williams, who's literally a tank. I mean, the O-line's just so deep, and they're really propelling that running game. They're getting pushed off that ball, and they're exploding out of their stance, and they're getting just great year so far for the offensive line.
I love the offense. I think has been pretty impressive so far, but I'd like to see some improvement on the defensive side. We've only seen one turnover to our side. We saw that Alex Akins took that ball down to the 1 yard line against the LaSalle game.
89-yard fumble return to the 1 yard line.
Yes, yeah. But you know, just one turnover. And you said that Pike likes to force turnovers on their side, but I honestly like to see us get a little bit more turnover. I know it's hard, but I think forcing turnovers should be the key in this Pike game.
I know we were talking about the offense, and Sam just totally switched it, so why not just go to defense right
now? That's what I was about to say. I was about to switch it to say, what do you guys think of the defense so far?
Well, I think the seven for the Greyhound defense is doing a really good job so far right now, especially the three defensive linemen, Britt Beery up there, really leading the way. Actually, just received his first offer from Indiana University, so that's awesome to see as a junior for him. Has one more, let's say two more years, because he has the rest of this year and next year to really show what he has. But Britt Beery leading up front, along with Kylan Cole, Scott Levine, just to name a few. And those guys up front are really doing a great job getting a big push and creating gaps for the linebackers to get through. But I think the key players on the defense right now, I'd have to say, are Jake Leach and Alex Akins. Jake Leach is doing a great job. He's racking up a lot of tackles. I mean, last game he had four tackles, and that was just while he was pressing up. And he's doing a good job. Noah Burks, also another big player on that defensive front area. Outside linebacker also gets down in a three-point stance and a nickel defense. But having him attack the outside, I mean, they're running away from him almost every time. Every time they run the ball, and they're trying to roll out away from him whenever they pass. So The opposing offenses are trying to do everything they can to avoid Noah Burks, but he's still doing a good job getting up into the defensive face and the offensive face and shutting everything down.
I think the defense has had a really solid season so far. They held HSC to 7 points, and really that seven was in trash time. Against LaSalle, they had a nationally ranked team, and their offense should be nationally ranked itself. It was that good. Their running back, he was great. He was running all over the place. And they got off to a rough start in the first half, but that was also due to special teams. They had a nice punt return for a touchdown, and the team sort of got down. And then last game against Center Grove, that's always a challenge against the triple option. College teams struggle against that a lot. And I think the defense overall has really done well. But something I'd like to see them fix, like you mentioned, Sam, is force a few more turnovers, press up on those wide receivers, and try to get a few more interceptions. It is difficult, especially in the last couple games against, or last game specifically, against a rushing team like Center Grove. But I'd like to see them maybe take a few more risks and force some turnovers and provide some big plays to get the offense a spark.
Something I'd like to see more on the defensive side. They're great at times. I want to see more consistency from the defense. I want us getting constantly great possessions. I want more four and outs. I want, more consistently on the defensive side. I think we were talking earlier about how we have that offensive consistency. We need that more on defense, and we can't give up big drives every, three series. We need more consistency on defense, and we need to be getting stops consistently.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Griffin. It was a nice roundtable discussion we had there about what we think of the Carmel football team thus far. And hopefully they can get a win on Friday and moving forward into the playoffs. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We'll be back with Jack Lorson on the Edge. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to Griffin Gonzalez once again for joining us. And now we have starting senior left tackle Jack Lorson with us. Thanks for joining us, Jack.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
All right, Jack, let's start it off and talk some X's and O's, just like that song said. The team has started 1-2, but both of those losses were against top-level programs. In your eyes, how's the season gone so far?
It's been okay. In each of our losses, we've had some positives and obviously some negatives, but it's been up and down. We have things we need to improve on, and we also have things that we've done really well and need to keep up.
What do you think is the problem with these first-quarter blowouts that we've seen in the past two games?
I don't really know. Playing all through JV and freshman and stuff, we always had pretty fast starts, so I don't really know what's gotten into us, but Coach Hebert this week has really changed the practice set to get our minds ready for the beginning of that game so that we, know what we're doing and, get off to a fast start.
And you said Coach Hebert's been changing the mindset of practice. Do you think it is mental mistakes earlier in these couple games, or do you think it's actual coaching, or not coaching, the coaching as well, but do you think it's actually mental mistakes, or do you think it's just actual mistakes?
I think it's a little bit of all of that. It's like, you kind of mess up a block at the beginning of the game or something, or you don't block the right guy. So it's a little bit of everything. Just we're not really clicking on all cylinders at the beginning of the game.
And as we've seen, one mistake can blow a game wide open, just like against LaSalle. A missed blocking assignment, a missed lane on the punt coverage, and the guy breaks loose, you're down 7-0, and your morale is diminished.
Exactly. Momentum's huge in football.
It's massive, especially in the first half, and I think that's been a contributor to why you guys have gotten down, because they get the first punch, and then they just sort of keep rolling. But we were talking about Coach John Hebert, former defensive coordinator, and he stepped in as head coach. How do you think he's done so far this season?
Yeah, well, when Coach Wright left, we were all kind of concerned, where are we going, all that stuff. But really, once Hebert stepped in, we really didn't miss a beat. We just kept on going. He's been a great head coach. Yeah.
What has Coach Hebert been doing in this week of practice, week four, that's been different in the past 3 weeks?
Well, at the beginning of practice, we actually have something at the beginning where it's like the whole team circles up around the Greyhound head, and then we have a big just combat, and then each coach picks a guy from offense and a guy from defense, and they just go at it in combat, and everyone gets all hyped. And he's really trying to get us going at the beginning of practice to simulate so that the game on Friday will be get off to a fast start in the first quarter.
Now you are a senior on this team. You're a returning starter. What are some of the underclassmen that you've seen that are really stepping up?
Justin Williams, really. I don't know if he expected to be starting left guard this year, but that's kind of where he is. So he's really stepped up in big games. Jalen Walker has really stepped up. Ethan Merriweather, all those guys. That's it.
Okay. And as mentioned, you're the starting left tackle, senior leader on the line and on the offense as a whole. I know Coach Hebert and Michael Victrup mentioned you as a leader. Give me some of the strength you've seen out of the O-line specifically so far and some of the weaknesses you think you need to fix.
I think easily our biggest strength has been our willingness to fight. You know, we're down 27 against LaSalle. We kept on fighting as if it were a close game. Our biggest weakness probably has been out of the gates, probably missing blocking assignments. You know, we prepare all week in practice, but then that first series where our heads are kind of spinning and we're not really focusing on who to block. So a lot of times we end up getting missed blocking assignments in the first quarter.
From an offensive line standpoint, tell me what we're going to expect this Friday from the Pike defense.
They blitz a lot. They're very athletic and they're very talented. So, I mean, we got to kind of counter that and block them like we always do.
Now, last week, you guys obviously lost to Center Grove, a tough one there. And you have to rebound against that tough Pike team who just took down Ben Davis. And what challenges as a team, not just defensively, but as a team, do they pose?
They have a lot of talent, like I said. I don't really know what they do offensively because I've been focusing on their defense. But, yeah, they like to wreak havoc on defense, blitz a lot. And they have a lot of talent. I mean, you know, they just beat Ben Davis, the defending state champion. So we got to be ready for it.
I know you've been focusing on the defense. I just didn't know if maybe you had an all-around view of them or something. Brady, you had a question?
No, I was going to comment on your point, actually. In watching film and doing some study on the Pike team, their running back system that they have is very similar to ours, where they do have two smaller running backs that rotate a lot. And so their running backs are a big thing to watch out for. So the Carmel defensive line, I believe, is really going to have to step up in this game.
Now, you've talked about getting dialed in this week, specifically in practice, and being ready to go right out of the gate. How do you get dialed in before games? What music do you listen to before games to really get focused?
I actually listen to rap music, believe it or not. Yeah, I'm usually a country guy, but that doesn't really get me hyped before games, so usually rap music.
All right, we've played one home game as a senior. What is the best part about playing Carmel football games at home?
Probably the student section. By far and away the biggest student section and one of the loudest student sections we have in the state. So that's probably best part, playing in front of your peers. And really the whole community is out there supporting you. And you know you have 4,000 people behind you when you're playing just a football game. So
now you've played in a lot of home games, but you've also been to some pretty hostile environments on the road. What's been your favorite venue to play at on the road?
Trinity was pretty hype last year. They had a lot of fans. They were really rowdy. Center Grove, they had a lot of wild fans, and then Noblesville tried to walk into the locker room but couldn't because their student body was blocking us. So probably those three.
That's the same answer we heard from Jake Leach last week when we asked him. What was it like playing at the University of Cincinnati? I know you didn't mention that one, but how was that like playing at an awesome, fully newly renovated college stadium?
That was cool. You know, we've had the opportunity to play at Lucas Oil and other high school stadiums, but we never played at a college stadium, so I didn't really know what to expect, but it was awesome. It was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say quiet, but it was like, because it was so big and there were so few people, and it just kind of seemed kind of open. So
it was also really rainy, so not a lot of people were there, too.
Yeah.
Now, you were named a captain last week, one of four new captains, and Coach Hebert has made it an initiative to name four new captains each week, even though there are four general captains, I believe. But you were the one last week against Center Grove. Now, what was that like, being a captain?
First off, that was a tremendous honor, and I really thank Coach Hebert for giving me that opportunity. But, yeah, it was cool because it was me, Tobias Watkins, Nathan Abiquo, and Jake Leach, and coin toss, all that stuff. It's really what you kind of grow up dreaming of doing because you see older guys doing that, and you just kind of want to do the same and kind of always want to get to that opportunity. And it's special because not everyone gets to be a captain, so It was a really great opportunity.
So last year we saw the team go undefeated all up until the state game where we got basically blown out by Ben Davis, and we didn't really know what the feeling of losing was like. Now that we lost two games, we're 1-2. Do you think it's almost a good thing that the team has felt like what it's like to lose?
No. I think we want to win every game, and I mean more hungry because of it, but I don't really think losing's ever a good thing. So
but you have to agree that if you lose two games in the regular season and that makes you stronger and you end up going far in the playoffs or winning state, that's better than going undefeated and losing in the playoffs, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, no doubt, but like I'd still like to win these regular season games.
That's fair enough. Now we always like to ask who you think is one of the sort of unsung heroes. We've talked about underclassmen, but who's a guy who you think really does a great job and doesn't get quite as much credit for it?
Well, probably every guy on the O-line.
Of course you're going to say that.
Harley Fry and Simon over at right tackle. Deshaun Williams at right guard. Chase Crowder at center. Justin Williams at left guard. Those guys work so hard. They do, even when they do such a great job, you know, everyone sees, oh, it's a great run from Tobias Watkins, or oh, it's a great pass from Michael Vick trip to Jalen Walker or Ethan or Marcus or whoever. But really it's the O-line who's really putting in the work and really are the unsung heroes, because when we do our job, we don't get noticed. And when we don't do our job, we get noticed. So that's kind of always the way it is.
So you always get noticed for the bad, but not for the good.
Yeah.
A true hound hog right there, Jack Wilson.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
So we were talking about the people on the offensive side of the ball. Now, during practice, you guys don't go against the one or two defense. You go against mainly the scout team defense. How's the scout team defense been going against you guys? Have they been preparing you well enough for games?
Yeah. We got, they've been good. Our scout team's always good because we're always so deep. They've been preparing us really well, you know. Sometimes in years past, they've been kind of taken a little bit to get into different formations, but this year they're really fast and getting into those formations, and yeah, they're a really good scout team. It's a really good simulation for Friday night's game.
Now, moving back to practice, you discussed how this has really been an intense week. What's your favorite part of practice, and what's your least favorite part of practice every single day?
You said least favorite first?
Favorite and least
favorite. Oh, favorite. Okay, favorite part of practice... I don't know. Probably the break in between. We get like a break at like period 14-ish, I think, and we get to kind of just relax and maybe, you know, work out some details that we might have been missing in the first part of practice. Then my least favorite part was probably shouldn't say this, but it's inside run, because, I mean, I do. It is fun hitting people.
It's because you have to work more.
Yeah, but you're just so exhausted. Like, it's like, you had 8 straight periods before that, and then the most intense period of practice right after, and it's...
And then right after that, you go into machine gun, you go into all that stuff, so it's just back to back.
Yeah, you get really, really tired. But that's good, because it's preparing you for the game, so...
All right, Jack, thank you so much for joining us here on Hound Pound Sports Talk. A great interview and a great roundtable discussion with Griffin Gonzalez earlier. Good luck this Friday. The call will be Sam at play-by-play and Brady at color. I'll be... the sideline man. Stay tuned to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We'll be right back.
The girl them skill or tip. Stand up all. Some give it to. Some give it to. Some give it to. To our girls. 5,000,040 naughty shorty. Baby girl. All my girls. All my girls. Stand up all say. Well, I'm on the way the time pole. I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on. Girl, I got the right tactics to turn you.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser, alongside Brady Klein and Sam Wiederhoft. We are fortunate enough to have starting left tackle Jack Lorson on and also fellow radio staff member Griffin Gonzalez to discuss the football team. And now let's sort of recap that. Jack mentioned the offensive line and how they're the unsung heroes and they work the hardest. Of course, any hound hog's going to say that. Brady, what did you think of that?
Well, I've been saying that sort of since day one of the show that we've been having. We've been talking about our key players and our key position groups, and I've always said the offensive line. And that's they're really, like Jack said, the unsung heroes of this team, because if it weren't for them, if you have a shaky offensive line, yes, we've been pretty inconsistent as offensive line as with injuries specifically, but I feel like the players that are stepping up are doing a great job, specifically Harley Fry taking the spot or taking over the spot when Simon Pacharas was injured for the first 3 weeks. I think he's done a tremendous job stepping in, and the depth that they have at that position is phenomenal, because it really is a next man up mentality when that position. And if they don't have a good block, then Victor gets hit. If they don't have a good block, then Tobias or Steven gets tackled in the backfield. But they're doing a tremendous job preventing anything from happening in that backfield.
Well, like you said, I think the offensive line is huge, because my key to the game this Friday and basically the whole year is the run game, because, you know, people know we're going to pass. We have Victor, who has a great arm. We have three great wide receivers. But the run game is what people, I think, don't really expect, which is different from the past years, but I don't think people are going to be expecting our run game. And the offensive line, it starts there. So the battle in the trenches, whoever wins the battle in the trenches is going to be who wins the game. So offensive line, huge, and I love how confident Jack sounded. Even though we are 1-2, they're all very confident, keeping their heads up and excited for the game on Friday.
They won't be shaken. They'll come out and compete against Pike, and I wouldn't doubt if we see a victory with a solid margin and hopefully a great win moving forward into the season. But key players, or key positions rather, the offensive line, I think that's key because of Pike's blitzing defense. They have to pick up the blitz. Or like you said, Brady, Victor gets sacked. Tobias gets hit in the backfield, potentially a turnover. So, and it's really tough as an offensive lineman, especially with all the injuries, stepping in. Can you imagine against Center Grove, and you're a backup offensive lineman, and you step in and have to block a defensive tackle going to Stanford or Vanderbilt? That's insane. And I really think they've done a great job having that continuity despite having no continuity, and really gelling no matter what situation they're in. And then also the running game against Pike is key, because if they'll be blitzing, we're going to have to do screens out of the backfield a lot. And we're going to have to establish the run game so they stack men in the box and have to respect it. And that could open up some play action or deep passes.
And the deep passes that you said, like we saw in that Center Grove game, the two long bombs to Jalen Walker, that really was what you said there. It was a play action read, but he looked up and had Walker going downfield in those two seam routes right up the middle. He did a great job. Victrop did noticing where Walker was in his route and dropping those two balls on a dime, which both led to touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say those are going to be my two key players for this game. That connection is going to be huge. Victor up to Jalen Walker. He's got unbelievable speed. They were able to connect toward the end of the first half last game, and Walker has 159 yards on the year and 12.2 average per catch. So Walker is going to be huge in that game, and if Victor can find him, they'll be unstoppable.
Also on the defensive side, I believe Pike passes a lot, and the secondary will be huge in that game. On the other side of the ball, Alex Akins, let's see if he can force a turnover. Jake Leach also at the safety position. And at cornerback, Nick Maz and Nathan Abiquo, they like to call it the no-fly zone. And hopefully there will be no flying of the football past them for touchdowns. And I really think they'll step up and have a great game against Pike. And we'll talk about our predictions in just a little bit. But one more topic to talk about before we take another quick break is Michael Victrop, how he could be a potential Mr. Football candidate. Do you guys really think he has a chance?
I think from what he showed in the first two games, he has a very strong chance of being at least mentioned as one of the candidates for this year. I know it's been Avon's quarterback is the main player going for Mr. Football this year, but I think Victrop can get a really big push this year, especially if he develops his personal run game more. Not the actual Carmel running game, but if he develops his running game more, then I think that'll really spread him out. He has 4 rushing touchdowns in the year. Don't get me wrong, he's a tremendous runner so far, but if he just keeps the ball a little more and hits that hole even harder than he has been, I think he is a very strong candidate.
I totally agree with you, Brady, and I think I said this, I don't know if it was on the air or off the air, but I love to see Michael Victor run a little more. I know he's a delicate quarterback. He got hurt sophomore year. He got hurt junior year. So it's really tough to protect him, but I love to see him run. The way he runs is outstanding. He loves to put the team on his back and just do what's right for the team. And I would like to see a little bit more quarterback draws where he goes back, fakes the pass, and then takes it himself. We've seen success with that. 4 rushing touchdowns. Definitely a Mr. Football candidate for sure, but I would love to see his legs a little bit more.
Yeah, like we saw in that last game against Center Grove when we were calling that one. He dropped back for a beautiful draw where it was actually play action. And he dropped back, stepped back to pass, and then hit the hole hard, gained like 12, 15 yards on that play. So if they can develop more of that play action draw play, or the quarterback draw play, that'll be a huge thing for him.
yeah, that could really expand his game. Right now, I think the majority of his running attack is just sort of scrambling around when the pass isn't there, and that's obviously been very successful for him. We saw a couple scramble touchdowns against LaSalle. One was unreal on 4th and 10 from the 20-yard line or something, juked out a million defenders on the way to a touchdown, but his passing is really refined. He throws that deep ball so well. He really does. And if he doesn't overthrow his receivers, it's usually right on the button. And I think if Carmel has a successful year, which I think they will moving forward, he could be a top candidate because of his ability to throw it and run it. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back with predictions for the Pike game and the rest of the season. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk on 91.3 WHJE.
Once upon a younger year, when all our shadows disappeared, the animals inside came out to play. Went face to face with all our fears, learned our lessons through the tears, made memories we knew would never fade. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, your wild heart will live for younger days. Think of me if ever you're afraid. He said one day you'll leave this world behind, so live a life you will remember. My father told me when I was just a child, these are the nights to never die. My father told me.
Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk. That song gets me so fired up, guys. That's my favorite song, The Nights by Avicii. Hopefully it'll be a great night for the Greyhounds tomorrow night. And there's the bass drop, but hopefully it'll be a great night against Pike for the Greyhounds. Last year's game, let's just recap that real quick. It was a 48-21 victory for Carmel. They scored 7 points in the first quarter and then blew it open, scoring 3 touchdowns in the second and then 20 points in the third quarter, leading to a big victory. And this year, it should be a little bit more of a competitive game, I think. On the road at Pike, a tough place to play. What do you think of this one, Brady? What's your prediction?
I think, like you said a second ago, it will be a tougher game to play on the road at Pike. Pike, a very good team, just coming fresh off a win against Ben Davis. They won 30-27, and that one went right down to the wire, that Ben Davis-Pike game did. Very close one. That was a great game to watch, a great game to see. But the overall game, the comparison between the teams, I just think Carmel has more experienced players. We have a lot of starting seniors and even a lot of returning starting juniors, where Pike's players last year had a lot of seniors leave. Not a lot of players are returning starters this year, offensive and defense for Pike. So I think the inexperience that their players have will be a huge factor in this game.
This one's going to be a shootout. Both defenses allowing significant amount of points. Pike has allowed 34 to Brownsburg and 20 to Fishers, also 27 to Ben Davis. So I think it's going to be a great game for the Carmel offense. But it's definitely going to be a shootout. There's going to be a lot of scoring. I'll give us a quick score prediction. I'll say Carmel wins this one 35-31. It's going to be really close. But, yeah, definitely a shootout. Big offensive games for both teams.
I agree with you, Sam. It will be a major offensive shootout because of the widespread offense that both teams run. I think the Greyhounds will win this one. It'll be much closer than people want it to be, though. I'm going to say 28-24.
I'd have to agree it'll be a shootout, and I think there will be two factors, one for each team. Carmel will come out with motivation and aggression on their side because they've lost 2 games in a row, and Pike will come out with confidence after they beat Ben Davis, the number one team in the state. But I think Carmel's motivation and aggressiveness will override Pike's confidence, and that'll lead to a Greyhound victory. I have Carmel winning. Ooh, this is a tough one. 42-35, 1 touchdown game. I think they'll pull away and be up by a couple touchdowns most of the fourth quarter, and Pike will get a late one, but it'll be too late for them to come back. I think Carmel gets the victory. They go to 2-2, and then they have a very successful rest of the season. And I'm not going to reveal my playoff predictions. None of us are yet, but those will be coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. And that's all we have here for Hound Pound Sports Talk. Thank you so much for listening. Alongside Sam Wiederhoft and Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Tune in a couple weeks. We'll be back in 2 weeks on Thursday at 10 a.m. once again. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to 91.3 The Edge.